From the Russ Center for Media in downtown Cape Girardeau, welcome to Focus on Southeast, a monthly program on issues and events impacting the campus of Southeast Missouri State University. I'm Dan Woods with KRCU Public Radio. Today we're talking with Southeast President Dr. Carlos Vargas as we wrap up the spring 2018 semester here at the university. Welcome, Dr. Vargas.
Welcome. Thank you very much, Dan.
Good to see you again. We're going to do something that we don't usually do. I wanted to pick your brain, I guess, for this half hour just on some big picture issues affecting the university and then higher education more broadly, and just to kind of see what are some of the things that may be coming down the line and get your thoughts on those. One of the big things happening on campus now, of course, as you know, is academic restructure, sort of changing the way the university is structured within the academic departments. So for those who maybe don't know exactly what that means, could you kind of explain that for us and what's going on?
Sure. Let me just start by saying that the restructuring that we're going through at the university is, although we have been focusing more recently on talking about the academic restructuring, we're doing restructuring across the institution in just about every one of the divisions, whether it's finance and administration, whether it's enrollment management, whether it's advancement, athletics, every one of them really have taken up this this task of reorganizing. Certainly, one of the things that is important to talk about when we talk about the academic restructuring is to make sure that people understand that we are in no way affecting the quality of the academic programs, their accreditation. We're not changing the curriculum. We are not impacting the ability of the students to continue to move forward. We are not limiting their ability to interact with the faculty. We are not eliminating faculty positions that are filled. So really what we're doing is we're changing essentially the way, the house where all these programs are find themselves in. And we're doing that to be able to be more more efficient in the way we do things. So although this was a result of the budgetary situation we find ourselves in, we are doing this also to end up being more efficient and more effective at what we do. So we're taking the opportunity to modify a few things that are going to be benefiting the students and the university and the way we are perceived.
Well, would this kind of restructuring have happened had there not been an issue with the budget? Is it something that needed to happen anyway, or did the budget sort of make it something where it needed to be done?
No, to be fair, I think the budget really did have something to do with it, because we have been engaged in a major scale and large scale restructuring of the institution, and there's no doubt that the situation with the budget really was a motivating factor too. Now, universities should be doing this on a regular basis, maybe not as large scale as we're doing, but universities should always be looking at the programs, the portfolio programs, and how they operate to make sure that we adapt to the environment that we are facing at any given time.
So beyond efficiencies and maybe some savings dollar-wise, what are some other things that you'd like to see happen post-restructure?
Well, I would like for us to be able to be more effective at communicating who we are as an institution, and how and to be more effective at communicating to prospective students and current students and parents and families that we truly are an institution that is preparing students for a career, that we are serious about making sure that the students graduate with the skills and the competencies that are required for them to be successful in the current environment that we have. So, and we do that while maintaining at the same time the quality of our programs. That is something that is not forgotten. All this reorganization, restructuring is going on while at the same time we make sure that no changes whatsoever have a negative impact on our quality, but rather actually the opposite, that it enhances our ability to enhance the quality of the programs that we offer.
Do you have a sense that other institutions in Missouri are doing sort of something similar, maybe not on this scale, but are other institutions doing the same type of evaluation?
I believe a number of them are actually taking this opportunity to really look at how they operate and how they organize internally. I do.
Mm-hmm. Is part of this also, I guess, just changes in technology and the way things can be done? Maybe there are some things that have been holdovers from maybe something was done way in the 90s, but looking back, now you can look back and say, well, there's a much more efficient way to do that because now we have this technology, this piece of equipment that makes this part necessary. Is that part of this too?
Absolutely. One of the things that we are doing and that we are taking this opportunity to do is to strengthen our IT infrastructure across the institution. That goes from as simple as having more bandwidth to be able to connect to a Wi-Fi location in many places on campus, mm-hmm. To having servers that actually provide the ability to have the software that we need to operate in the different programs, and to have the hardware that is required for those programs and software to operate. And even outside of the classroom experience, software systems that we now are in the process of acquiring that are going to help us be in touch with students in a more effective way. And so there is a program that we are acquiring that is going to help us be more efficient at increasing our retention numbers. How do you communicate with the students? You need to do it through technology these days. If you don't have enough people to really do it one-on-one, there are software systems that have come across in commercially that are very effective. Now, they're very expensive, but we are now acquiring some of those systems, and we believe we're going to be able to keep in touch with students in a more effective way.
One of the newest things that I think it's fairly new is this is Southeast Alerts, a system now where mm-hmm. when there's severe weather or there's some kind of thing that happened close to campus, the campus mm-hmm. community can be alerted mm-hmm. very quickly about something that pops up now.
That is an example of some technology that was not before there that is now being used, and we use that for emergency situations. And so we take the opportunity to do it when there's bad weather, but we can also use it if there is a threat that may be occurring in some location at the university, so we can use that to very effectively and quickly communicate with the students, because most students now have cell phones and mm-hmm. are able to receive text messages. So again, technology is permeating so many different areas of an institution, and just keeping up with the technology is in itself a challenge, but it's also expensive. Because mm-hmm. New systems come around all the time.
Yeah. Do you see more changes coming down the line for the university and maybe for higher education in general and how universities operate and how they're structured, other things that you sort of see on the horizon?
The answer is yes. I think we're going to have to continue to become more effective at communicating what we do and how we do it. We need to make sure that that we have very targeted objectives, that we communicate clearly how we are preparing students to be successful. And we should do that not only to the community outside of the university, but also inside. How do we make sure that our students, the current students that we have, understand how to best navigate the university environment and how to best position them to be successful when they go out for a job or go to graduate school or decide to even start up a business themselves. So entrepreneurship is one of the areas that we are promoting very heavily. Mm-hmm. Again, we're also connecting with industry as effectively as we can. I personally go and visit companies to try to develop links and relationships that have an impact on our ability to offer programs, internships for students, potential jobs, and maybe get some funding from all these companies because they see the benefit in developing that close relationship with us.
The university really almost has to just be more integrated within the business community, especially for the entrepreneurial piece, than it ever has been. and find out what businesses need, what they're mm-hmm. looking for, and try to cater programs and things to meet those needs.
Yes, actually, when I hear you say that, I think about how far we are from this idea of the ivory tower. People talked about the ivory tower in higher education yeah. for a long time. We certainly are not in that situation anymore. We understand the responsibility we have to interact with the business community, with the industrial community, and make sure that they understand that we are really interested in helping them be successful. So that's something that the universities need to more effectively do, which is to share with the community, the business community, the industrial community, that mm-hmm. that we are interested in preparing our students so that they can be successful when they get into their jobs that they offer.
So let's talk a little bit about the budget. Now, I know that we don't know all the details on FY19 yet, I guess. We won't know that till later in May, right?
Right, correct.
So, but beyond, with the recent challenges, and there have been budget challenges now for, it's been a couple of years now, it seems. So beyond restructuring and the finding of efficiencies that we've talked about, what else can the university do to continue to be successful when these funding challenges present themselves?
Mm-hmm. Well, there are a number of different things we should be doing, and one of them, of course, is communicating to the legislature and to the governor's office the importance that we as an industry have for the state. The state benefits from having a strong system of higher education. I mean, for having a strong system of education, period, at every level. Mm-hmm. But speaking about higher education, certainly it is, I think, a wise move for any state government to support higher education, because that is how you prepare people to take those jobs that are, as they say, it's really not a cliche, just, you know, we're preparing students and graduates for jobs that do not exist. So we need to prepare them to learn. They need to learn how to learn. And that's a very critical thing to do. So we need to first communicate to the all the constituents that we as a university have the importance that we have for the economy in the state to thrive. Secondly, what we need to do is we need to ensure that we have a diversified stream of revenue. So, I mean, basically the sources of revenue for a university typically are the tuition that the students pay, and mm-hmm. If it's a public institution, the funding that we receive from the state, the appropriation, the state appropriation. You know, we do have, do fundraising, and I think we need to continue to do that more in a stronger manner. But also we need to develop those ties with industry and businesses so that they support us in whatever way is appropriate, so that we can take some of that revenue coming in from those sources and use it to improve the quality of our services, the quality of our offerings, educational offerings. So there's a number of things that we need to do to make sure that we continue to thrive in an environment that oftentimes presents us with cuts in our budget. So we need to understand that nothing is we shouldn't be taking the appropriations from the state as something for granted. We need to always be thinking, how do we do things to make sure that we are financially sound?
What is the percentage of the state appropriation now? Is it 40%-ish?
It's less than that. It's probably closer to 35 now.
Yeah. So that number can fluctuate. So yes. That leaves you with tuition and some fundraising. So mm-hmm. tuition, there's only, you got to be careful with raising tuition because you don't want to price students out.
Correct.
But there has to be some room there to continue, because if the state appropriation doesn't grow, that or the fundraising piece are the other two real areas, I guess, where yeah. there could be more things that could happen.
Yeah, and fundraising is sometimes I think people do not quite understand some of the limitations that the fundraising has. I mean, fundraising is something you do that supports certain programs, right. But normally it's very difficult for people to donate money for operations. They normally say, well, I will give you money to strengthen a program. I will give you money to perhaps even for a new facility. But we're not going to give you money so that you can buy pencils and notebooks and, mm-hmm. And all that. So we need to still come up with that money. The cost of higher education has increased because if you think about a few decades ago, you know, the funding that we received from the state was probably 85% of our budget. Now we're down to 35%, and there are states that are even lower than that. When I was in Pennsylvania, we received about 25% of our budget was okay. coming from the state. So different states have support higher education at different levels. But every time the state reduces the appropriations to the university has essentially either to cut services to reduce the expenses internally or to increase the tuition or both. And I think sometimes, and that's why I was saying before, that we need to communicate really how we operate and mm-hmm. who we are, because I think sometimes people feel that there's... That we're bloated, that there's a lot of fat in universities. Universities, I don't think, for the most part, are organizations that have a lot of fat, as they normally think about. Yeah. It's just that the function of the universities relies very heavily on individuals, on people. You need right. faculty, you need individuals, and it's expensive.
Labor costs are always high when you have faculty and staff and people who make the university a university, and there's right. costs with that, with pay and health insurance and all of those things that are just part right. of operating.
And institutions in higher education are increasingly trying to use technology to reduce the cost. So you have those MOOCs, for example, these large online courses that you can take that can, in some cases, enroll tens of thousands of students. That's an example, but then you sometimes have courses online where you have one person teaching and then you can have students that don't have to come to the campus necessarily. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, there are all kinds of ways of trying to come up with a more efficient way of delivering the education. You need to always worry about there are different ways of delivering that education, but then how effective are you? Are the students prepared the same way if you are doing it this way as opposed to this way? Well, that's something that we continue to do research on all the time to make sure that that happens.
So let's get our crystal ball out and look into the future a little bit. Mm-hmm. What are some things that Southeast is doing really well that you think can be expanded upon in the future?
Well, I think don't think I have a problem talking about the fact that Southeast does very well offer very high quality programs. And I've been doing that, sending that message recently more and more frequently. We have about 30 some programs that are accredited. Mm-hmm. So it's not the accreditation of the university that I'm referring to now. It is a different kind of accreditation. So if you have a program in, you name it, say, let's choose music, there is an agency that accredits programs in music. So in order to be accredited, that program has to be evaluated by external individuals, not just individuals from the university. So you have to write a document describing who you are, what you do, what your curriculum is, who your faculty are, what your students do, mm-hmm. What their work is, etc., and then you submit it. They then read it and send a team over to visit you, and then they confirm that what you said is what actually happens.
Make sure it's true.
That's right. Yeah. And these organizations normally have standards. And so they evaluate you through every one of those standards. And so if they say, yes, you are a high-quality program, we believe it because you satisfy all of our standards, then they say you can actually now claim that you're accredited. Well, we have over 30 programs that are accredited. And if we are accredited by the National Association of Schools of Music, which is the accrediting agency, well, let me say that another university, say in Massachusetts, perhaps Harvard, it's got a program in music, and that's accredited by the same organization. Well, what that is saying to you is that the quality of the programs in both cases is such that it satisfies the standards that that organization mm-hmm. imposes. So, you know, you can come here in a much more, it's more affordable to come here than it is to go to some other places, and you get a program, and the quality of education is consistent with what these organizations expect. So we need to more effectively continue to communicate how we do so well in terms of quality of our programs. The university environment is wonderful. We are a very nurturing university, a very caring university, and I know that because when I came here 2 years ago or so, that's one of the things that really called my attention, you know, how caring this institution is and how the community loves the university. They really do. The Cape Girardeau community, Jackson community, when I go to St. Louis and all that, everybody that I meet, alumni, parents of students and so on, they're very pleased with the quality of education that people receive here.
We got about 30 seconds left, I guess. What's one big challenge you see on the horizon, beyond the budget, beyond all of that other stuff? Is there any big challenge that you're looking out for?
Well, I think so. I think it's the recruitment of students that are coming from high school is becoming increasingly challenging. The competition for students is growing, and I think that that's something that is going to continue to be a challenge for us in the next few years.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Vargas, thanks for spending time with us.
Thank you very much, Dan. Very nice.
Thank you to our crew. A lot of our students are graduating. We want to thank them for their hard work here on the floor and in the control room. And don't forget that Focus on Southeast is a collaboration of KRCU Public Radio and the Department of Mass Media here at Southeast Missouri State University. And just a reminder that portions of these monthly conversations with Dr. Vargas will be broadcast on KRCU, and our entire conversation is also available as a podcast. Just search for Vargas Speaks. From the Russ Center for Media, I'm Dan Woods with KRCU Public Radio. Thanks for watching. Be sure to tune in next time when we focus on Southeast.